Hi there, my name is Jerem Bogwa, and I'm the host of Crime and Consequences Kenya, a true crime podcast where we tell the life stories of our victims, who they were, what happened to them, and why they still matter. Our players today are Monica Kimani, the victim, and Joey Irungu, the murderer. Monica Nyawira Kimani was born on October 12, 1990 at Okalau General Hospital in Nyandarua County, and she was the eldest daughter to her parents, Bishop Paul Nagarama and Miriam Kimani, and in accordance to Kikuyu culture, she was named after her father's mother. So as she was growing up, Monica went to kindergarten at Thika Barracks, and then after that, I couldn't really find any information on where she may have gone to primary school or high school, but we do know that she went to the Technical University of Kenya for her tertiary education, and there she pursued a degree in international relations. Now, Monica came from a very close family, and she was extremely close with everybody in her family, her mom, her dad, and her brother. Her father describes Monica as an interesting, beautiful, and sharp child who was the flower of his youth. And the mother and Monica would make sure to see each other. Every time Monica came back into the country from business, Monica would make sure that she went and visited her mom. Actually, a week before she died, Monica had bought her mom a new car, but then after Monica's death, the mother refused to use the car. Monica's brother, George Kimani, describes his sister as generous. The two of them are also extremely, extremely close. They went to the same schools together. They studied, he also went to the Technical University of Kenya, and he studied hotel management. And then when Monica decided to go to South Sudan for work and business, George followed her there 3 months later. When she worked at the Kenyan embassy in South Sudan and George worked at a hotel in South Sudan, the two of them lived in the same apartment. So you can see that she was very, very close with her nuclear family. At the time of her death, Monica was running, so she had stopped working at the embassy, but at the time she died, and she was running her father's cleaning company in South Sudan. The cleaning company was named Millie Paul after her parents, Millie Paul General Company, and one of the most notable contracts they had at the time was a 3-year contract with UAP Insurance, and according to my research, it was not renewed after Monica died. Our story begins on Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. At 3:58 p.m., Monica flew on flight KQ353 from Juba to Nairobi, and she was scheduled to arrive at the JKIA at 5:45 p.m. According to the flight manifest, Monica was on seat 22A, and she got off the plane at 5:38 p.m. and was seen at the immigration desk at 5:41 p.m. So her flight was a little bit early. After getting cleared at immigration, she went to baggage claim, picked her luggage, and she left the international terminal towards the taxi area at 5:51 p.m. So Monica gets a taxi at around 6 p.m. and her taxi driver is identified as John Otieno. The first place that he takes her is at Dennis Prit, and there she calls a bodaboda rider and gives her an envelope. We don't really know what was in this envelope. And then John Otieno drives her to Lamuria Garden Apartments, and she's dropped off at 7 p.m. A security guard who was on duty that day said that Monica came in, collected her house key and some clothes that had been left by the day guard, and then she headed on to her apartment. She lived in apartment A8. That night, Monica had 4 people come to visit her. So according to the security guard, the first person that he saw going to her house arrived at around 8 p.m. So this was maybe just an hour after she'd gotten home. He was dressed in a white kanzu, a gray jacket, and a maroon cap. He identified himself as Haron and gave out an ID in the name of Donick Bisera Haron. So the guards, at around that same time at 8, the guards called Monica and informed them that, you know, there's a Dominic here to see you. And she's like, yeah, of course, let him in. And so he goes into the house. An hour later, at 9:15 p.m., a person identified as Lee Owen Omondi Madara visits Monica. So he found 2 men in the house who were introduced to him as Dabul Walid, a neighbor who lived just next door to Monica at apartment A9, and Joe, a security officer with Interpol and Office of the President. 5 minutes later, at about 9:20 p.m., somebody identified as Anthony Kariuki Kaka arrived at Monica's apartment, but she did not go into the house. Anthony met Monica in the parking lot, and she told him that she had visitors. She had a Lebanese neighbor and a guy from State House. And then about 5 minutes later, he left. Monica's neighbor, Dabul, the person who lives in A9, he's the first to leave, but it wasn't really specified at what time he leaves. But then after he leaves, then Lee Owens, who came at 9:15, he leaves at around 10:45 p.m. So by 11:21 p.m., Dominic was the only person who had been left at Monica's house, and nobody else is reported to have gone in the house after that. So let's run this down again, right? So Monica is dropped off at her apartment at 7 p.m. At 8 p.m., she gets the first visitor, Harun. 9:15 p.m., she gets the second visitor, Lee Owen Omundi Madara. When he goes into the house, he's informed that there are two other people in the house, who was the neighbor, Dabul Walid, and Joe, who's the security officer with Interpol and was also working in the office of the president. At 9:20 p.m., Anthony Kariuki comes, but he does not go into the house. They talk in the parking lot for about 5 minutes before he goes on about his business. So Dabul is the first person who left. And then after that, Lee leaves at around 10:45. And I couldn't really find any intel, by the way, on when Joe, the security officer, left. But we know that by 11:21 p.m., Dominic was the only one who had been left at Monica's house. And nobody is said to have gone in or come out from the house after that. About 4 hours later, at around 3:35 a.m., Dominic leaves the apartment, and he's driving a silver Toyota Elion that had the registration of KCA 031E. And sometime after he left, he's captured on CCTV with a man who, to my knowledge, was never identified. So about 25 minutes later, at 4 p.m., Joseph Irungu Kuria arrived at Jackie Maribe's house. He's dressed in a hoodie, cap, and a jacket. We're at 4 a.m. September 20th, right? So before all these things, Monica was supposed to travel to Dubai for holiday and business. And before traveling, she was supposed to visit her mother the next day after arriving into the country. So that morning, her family tries to reach Monica, and nobody can find Monica. So her brother, George Kimani, together with his girlfriend, who was identified as just Beatrice, they decided to go in and check on Monica. When they got to her apartment, they found a paper bag with bread at the doorway. The TV inside the house was on, and they could hear water running, but they could not access her house because the main door was locked. Her keys were hanging on the balcony door, and her brother was like, yeah, this is definitely strange. Like, we're not calling her. We hear the TV's on, like the bread is still in the door, and we can hear water running, but nobody is coming to open the door or say anything. So the brother decides to reach out to the caretaker, because probably the caretaker has an extra set of keys and they can come and try to access her apartment and see what's going on with Monica. So the caretaker, who was identified as Regan Inungu Buluku, asked the gardener, who was identified as Stephen Wanjohi, to get a ladder and access the house from the balcony window, because I'm guessing they did not have any extra keys to get into apartments. So Stephen goes, he gets the ladder, and up he goes, and he's finally able to get access into Monica's house. When Stephen got in, he noticed that there was nobody in the sitting room or the bedroom. So he decides, let me just check around the house. And that's when he decides to go to the bathroom. And in the bathroom, he finds Monica's body in the bathtub. There's a mobile phone next to her, and there's water running from the shower. She has her hands tied together, and there's a masking tape that's covering her mouth. And one lower leg was tied with a security seal. So when Stephen sees this, he's like, oh my God, just, you know, he goes there, he calls the caretaker and the brother, and he asks them to break the main door because he couldn't find the key to the main door. So after this, after they are able to access the house and they see what's going on, they decide to call the police. So now let's switch gears and go see what Joe is doing on this other side. So it's Friday, September 21, 2018, and it's about 1 a.m. in the morning. Jackie Maribe, who at this time was a primetime news reporter for Citizen TV, she is dating Joe Irungu, who is the accused in this case. So at 1 p.m., the two of them get into an argument at her Royal Park apartment, number 626. He allegedly grabs a gun and shoots himself on the right side of his chest. The bullet exits from the back and hits the wall, leaving a hole. 2 minutes later, he goes to house number 620 and tells the owner, who is identified as Brian Kassain, what has happened. And he asks Brian, can you just go to the house and get the gun from the house? 3 minutes after that, at 1:05 a.m., Brian goes to apartment 626, gets the gun, and the gun was identified as a Seska serial number B467102, and it had 28 rounds of 9mm ammunition. So at about 25 minutes later, after this incident, actually 30 minutes later after this whole incident, at 1:30 a.m., Jackie Maribe, Brian Kassain, and his wife take Joey to the hospital. And because he has a gunshot wound, the hospital demands an OB number before they can treat him. So they only dress his wound. So the next morning at 8 a.m., Jackie Maribe goes to work as usual. And at 4 p.m., there's breaking news of somebody who's been found murdered in the apartment. And Citizen TV breaks the news of Monica's death. Jackie Maribe reports this news. Now, 3 hours later, at 7:05 p.m., Jackie Maribe, Joe Irungu, and her neighbor Brian, they go to Langata Police Station and they report the shooting that happened earlier that morning at around 1 a.m. So the report is on OB number 79/21/9/2018, and it states that Joey was shot by thugs at the main gate of Jackie's apartment. A few minutes later, at 8 p.m., Langata OCPD Mutisi visits the alleged scene crime, and he's talking to the neighbors and he's trying to gather evidence on who this boy was that attacked Joey. But the watchman on duty tell him that, we were here and we didn't hear any gunshots anywhere near here. About 2 hours later, at 10:30 p.m., the OCPD receives a signal from Kilimani Police Station asking for assistance to trace Joey and the car he was seen leaving Monica's house with. So now we've gotten to Sunday. It's Sunday, September 23rd, 2018. Police go and get Brian, Jackie, and Joey, and they're interviewed about Monica's death. I could not find any more specific details into this interrogation. Now we're in Monday, September 24th, that same year. Joey is arrested in relation to Monica's death, and Jackie goes missing. This is what is reported, is that she's missing. But then later, Jackie comes back and she alleges that she panicked and went to her parents' house because her fiancé had just been arrested for the murder of a woman who she had reported about on TV. Like, she's the one who broke the news to the country. So what do you mean my fiancé killed this one? Like, I panicked and I went to my parents. I went to my parents' house just to gather myself, recalibrate, and just see what's happening. So when police go into Jackie's apartment the same day, Monday, September 24th, they discover a live bullet under Jackie's bed and the bullet hole in the wall. And the bullet hole had been covered with unga chapati, wheat flour dough. The next day, on Tuesday, September 25, police take the Toyota Allion from Jackie's apartment and they drive it to Kilimani Police Station. They dust the car for prints, and in the car, they find cans of beer, a wig, and some clothes. When they were questioned about the live bullet that was found at Jackie's bed, Joey states that the bullet may have dropped from the gun of his friend Brian, and he claimed that he had the gun because he usually services it for his friends. So during interrogations, they realized that he's had the gun since September 9th. So he's had it for about maybe 3 weeks or just a little short of 3 weeks. Now, 2 days later, it's now September 27th on a Thursday, Jackie goes and records her statement at Kilimani Police Station, and then she's later taken to the DCI. As police are continuing on with the investigations, they recover a partially burnt white robe, t-shirt, cap, and other clothing items at Maribe's compound, and they take these things into evidence and they take them away for analysis. Friday, September 28th, Monica is buried in Gilgil. She's laid to rest. And that same day, police arrest Mr. Kassain, who is Brian and Jackie's neighbor. And at his house, they recover a gun, and the gun was allegedly hidden in the ceiling. The next day, on Saturday, Friday, September 29th, Jackie is arrested and she is detained at Ngigiri Police Station. So who is Joey Irungu and why is he being arrested in connection to the death of Monica when the last person who was seen at Monica's house is a person who was identified as Dominic Haron? So Joseph Kuria Irungu, also known as Joey, was born in Gucha Estate, Nakuru, to his parents Julius Irungu and Anastasia Thama. Joey was raised in a Christian household and his family members describe him as somebody who was social. He was very, very generous and respectful. He completed high school in 2010 and later he joined the Technical University of Kenya, where he graduated with a diploma in food production. So Brooke is the first connection that Joey and Monica have together. The two of them, Monica and Joey, are reported to have met through her brother, who was also at Took at around the same time. After graduating from Took, Joey moves to Dubai, and in Dubai, he's trained in tactical military at Dubai Police Academy. He was trained by the international security firm called Ogara Group, and he acquired a license to offer private security. So he took a couple odd jobs in Dubai. He worked as a waiter, and sometimes he also worked as a security officer for prominent business people who were visiting. He's also said to have traveled to Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, and Syria. He came back to Kenya in 2017, and he's said to have offered security to high-level politicians, including former Taita Taveta senator. I could not find the specific name of this former senator. So Joey is reported to have loved to live, you know, the high-end life, and he was often frequenting spots like Kiza, Jibweke Tavern, and 1824, where he enjoyed expensive whiskey with his friends. His friends said that he had a lot of money, but no one really asked him, like, where does your money come from? Because he had worked abroad. So they just assumed that, you know, he spent so much time in Dubai, he had saved up, and this is where he's getting all his money from. He's alleged to have served as a professional bouncer in the Middle East, as we said before. So Joey lived in Buruburu Phase 2, and it's reported that he rarely allowed anybody into his apartment. He's said to have had a roommate who was identified as Mark Kaloki, who he lived with before they fell out. Kaloki is a member of the KQ cabin crew. I don't know if he's still a member, but according to research, at the time, Kaloki was a member of the KQ cabin crew. And Joey's friends describe him as just like a mysterious guy. You know, one source described him as having the mannerisms of a hunted animal. And he's alleged to have always carried a gun tucked under his jacket. So at the time of this murder, Joey had a very, very public engagement with his then girlfriend, Jackie Maribe, who at the time, as we've said, was one of Kenya's top journalist. So Jackie was arrested and put on trial alongside Joey for the murder of Monica Kimani. And at the time, Jackie was working for Royal Media Services and she was reporting for Citizen TV. So Jackie and Joey are alleged to have met in mid-2017 at a Jubilee party function at the Bomas of Kenya. And then they're said to have met at yet another Jubilee function at Kasarani Stadium. And we don't really know much about their relationship after that, but we know that about a year or so after that, in June 2018, is when he proposed, and then 3 months later is when Monica died, or Monica was murdered. So now let's go to the trial. When Monica's body was found, her neighbor, remember her neighbor Dahul, he informed her family that he was at her house the previous night, and then Lee Owen also reached out to the family and informed them that he was also at her house the previous night. After that is when Joey reported to the police station that had been shot by thugs at the main gate of Jackie's apartment. And after that, they started an investigation into the shooting, and then they find out that Joey was lying about having been shot at the gates because security guards did not hear any gunshots, did not see any altercation. And then later after that is when he's identified as the other man in Monica's house. So both Jackie and Joey are arrested and charged with murder in October 2018. They both take a plea and they plead not guilty and ask for the court to grant them bail. So Jackie's defense after they were arrested and charged with this murder is that she had never ever met Monica. She was not present at the crime scene during the time of the murder. She told the judge who's presiding, who's identified as Judge Grayson Zioka, that during this time she was conducting interviews at Citizen TV, because remember she was a reporter at Royal Media, and she did not leave the studios until after midnight. She gave the names of the guests that she had that night, and they were identified as Juliet Julie, Chelagat Ruto, and Anita Lumbi. After the interviews and everything, Jackie says that the four of them went out and they were partying with former Nairobi Governor Mike Sonko until about 4 a.m. Jackie also adds that on the night of the murder, Joe is the one that had her car. She did not have her car. So he says that this was not uncommon, because he would use her car while she was at work, and then he would just have to pick her or drop her off from her job. So in Joey's defense, he also states that he never knew Monica and he never visited her home in Kilimani the night that she was killed. Joey told that he knew Monica's brother, but he had never ever talked to Monica, or he had no relationship with Monica. So the prosecution then goes on to present a video of a man who allegedly looked like Joey, and in the video it's Monica and Joey who were seen together and they're eating nyama choma. But Joey like denied this and said, that is not me. The man in that video, that is not me. So the defendants, who in this case were Jackie and Joey, present their case, and then the prosecution present this. So the judge, before making a ruling, she said that the court had evidence the murder was committed in the most heinous or horrific and monstrous manner. This was demonstrated by the following facts. Number one, the post-mortem revealed that the throat of the deceased was cut through and true. In judgment delivered by the court, it was observed that whoever committed the offense was skilled in military training. This fact has been corroborated by the pre-sentence report, where the accused herein has expressed that he was trained in Dubai by the Dubai Police Academy and Ogara Group in tactical military training. Number two, the photos of the scene, and in particular the body of the deceased, were clear indication of a slaughterhouse, and again, as observed in the judgment, no other than the accused on counsel kept referring to this horrific murder as slaughter. So I guess that Joey's defense kept on referring to the murder as a slaughter, and the judge was like, yeah, you guys were right, this was definitely a slaughter. So the judge added, as a result of the murder, A, the deceased family business in South Sudan had collapsed, and this had taken away a source of income from the family. Number two, the mother of the deceased, Monica's mother, she'd suffered from depression and a stroke following the loss of her only daughter. And number three, just because of the horror of having to see his sister murdered in the way that she was, George, who was the younger brother to Monica, had withdrawn from the public and he rarely left his house. So speaking on Joey's character, the judge stated that while the family members describe him as a staunch and devoted Christian, the pre-sentence report speaks to the contrary. Remember, we say that Joey would often visit very popular clubs in the country, and he would be seen buying and drinking all this expensive liquor. So the judge says that the accused is described as a bully. The guards at Royal Park testified that he used to brandish a gun and he refused to be searched. So every time he would go to see Jackie, he would show them the gun and be like, you guys are not searching me. The investigating officer stated that he was reported to have assaulted someone in the club when the case was ongoing. An interesting thing that the judge said was, based on the aforementioned factors, the question that arises is whether the accused person should be released back to society when he has no remorse for the offense committed. The answer is in the negative. So Judge Grace Nzioka sentenced Joey to death on March 13th, 2024, which is only last year. And this crime happened all the way in 2018. Jackie, on the other hand, was acquitted of all charges in February. And as of 11th March 2024, Jackie Maribe was appointed the head of communications at the Ministry of Public Service. And that is the end of this week's episode. So Joey is going to spend the rest of his life in prison, and Jackie Maribe is getting to rebuild herself, her career, and her name, and hopefully Monica's family is continuing to heal from this really devastating thing that happened to their daughter and sister. So if you've made it this far into the episode, thank you so much for staying with me for this very few minutes. I will see you guys again next Wednesday. We're going to have a brand new episode, a brand new story, a brand new case. And if you've enjoyed this episode, remember you can rate us if you're listening on Spotify, leave a comment, and you can find me on Instagram, on TikTok at Crime and Cons KE. Bye.